From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? Happy March 26, 2015. It is Thursday here on Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. We've got a great show in store for you all today. On today's show, we'll be talking about MSU spring football and what to watch for. Also, a certain ESPN writer has put MSU head football coach Mark D'Antonio on a pretty interesting list that you want to hear about, folks. Also, of course, each every Thursday, we give you a sneak peek preview into tonight's Current Sports TV sit-down. And, of course, I had the privilege of sitting down with head coach of the Okemos hockey team, Bill Cipolla. Great time sitting down with Bill. We'll give you a sneak peek preview into that one. And also a very interesting chat with Google Sports Trends expert Lorne Verasio. You don't want to miss this one, folks. All of that and so much more. But as custom here on Current Sports, here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this Thursday, March 26th. All right, folks, well, today is also the start of the NCAA Sweet 16. How about that? Now, four Sweet 16 matchups begin tonight, starting with Wichita State and Notre Dame, then North Carolina and Wisconsin, West Virginia and Kentucky, and last but certainly not least, Xavier in Arizona. Get your brackets ready, folks. All right, the MSU men's baseball team won its second straight game on Wednesday with a 7-1 win to even its record at 11-11 on the year. Now, the Spartans scored runs in three consecutive innings to jump out to a 6-0 lead. Starter Andrew Gonzalez threw six innings in the win, holding Oakland scoreless on only three hits. And the Big Ten Conference on Wednesday recognized a total of 735 winter sports student-athletes who have been named to the Academic All-Conference team. Now, among those listed are Michigan State's Matt Costello, Colby Wolinman, and Michigan's Zach Irvin, Andrew Dockage, and Sean Largergan. How about that? So congrats to all of the student-athletes who were named to the All-Big Ten academic list. That is certainly a great accomplishment. All right, Eastern Michigan's women's basketball team was in action against Southern Mississippi last night. The Eagles held a 36-32 halftime lead, but couldn't hang on as the team lost 76-65 in the third round of the women's NIT. Now, four Eagles scored in double figures, led by Janae Morton's 14 points. Interesting story here. ESPN writer Travis Haney created a list of the top 10 overpaid college football coaches. Now, Haney listed Michigan State's Mark D'Antonio as number 7 on that list. Haney complimented D'Antonio for keeping the Spartans competitive, but pointed to his $5 million salary as being too costly for someone who only has one outright conference title. Really? Really? We'll get to that story in just a sec, but I'll bite my tongue right now. All right, Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz announced that quarterback Jake Ruddock is free to transfer anywhere, including to another Big Ten school. Now, Ruddock, who visited Michigan earlier this week, could play immediately as a graduate transfer. Ferentz told reporters on Wednesday, quote, "We signed a release basically with no strings attached. Bottom line is I want him to be happy about the opportunities in front of him." The Detroit Red Wings, they look to get back on track as they host the San Jose Sharks tonight at 7:30 p.m. The Wings are in the midst of a 3-6-1 record over the past 10 games. The Wings are trying to hold off Ottawa, the Ottawa Senators, who are now just 5 points behind them for third place. And discussions resume today between the developer of the Red Wings Arena and Detroit City Council. There have been concerns from elected officials about where downtown visitors will park. Now, details about a long-term parking plan are expected to be shared at today's 10 a.m. meeting. So I assume that meeting already took place. I'm sure details are floating around Twitter as we speak. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, please call at 517-355-9527. Again, that number is 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even leave me a tweet at Al Martin WKAR. Without further ado, how about we start the show?
Mark, speaking of Shalique Calhoun, I mean, one of the reasons that he voiced when he took the podium to come back here was to possibly be a part of the team that won a national championship. Is that the clear goal here, the boisterous goal here, or is it too early to think about that?
I think you go with things in progression. You always have to take your goals, and you're building your goals as you go, and then you reevaluate your goals if you don't reach that. You know, after the Ohio State game this past year, we just needed to win out and see what that did for us. But we didn't win a championship. So the first goal has to be to win this side of the Legends, which is as tough as there is in college football, really. This side of the conference is as tough as there is in college football. That's about my assumption. A lot of good teams, a lot of very well-coached football teams. But with that being said, you know, you just sort of leapfrog from there to the next step, to the next step. And I think it's possible with what we've accomplished. We've got a name for ourselves a little bit. You know, we've got some rankings. And I think you need those things to be able to push yourself over the edge. And, you know, we're up there now, so we've got a little bit of a podium, I guess I'd say. That's the right word. But you've got a little bit of recognition, so what are you going to do with that? So I just feel like our football team, you're always trying to reach farther, reach higher, and I mean, we've got to reach a little further, and you're in a playoff game. And that would be the goal, to get in the playoff game. But to do that, you have to go through the progression.
Yes, that was the voice of MSU head football coach Mark D'Antonio. Can you believe that we are already talking about football? Again, welcome to Current Sports, ladies and gents. I am your host, Al Martin, on this fantastic Thursday. And we're going to start by talking about spring football. Now, of course, Michigan State, they started spring practice on Tuesday. And it ends with the, of course, April 25th spring game down at Spartan Stadium. Of course, April 25th is a little ways, actually exactly about a month from now. So the weather should be, I know we're crossing our fingers for that, should be pretty nice outside, okay? Better than it is right now, a little cold outside. But should be a big game as far as looking at the implications, as far as potential-wise for how good this team could be. So, you know, I want to start off by talking about, you know, what are the big storylines when it comes to spring football, what to look for, and you know, what are the implications that could allude to another successful season for head coach Mark D'Antonio and company. Again, our phone lines are open. They will stay open throughout this entire hour. Call in at 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527 to voice your opinion. You can also, of course, go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. I want to invite now, of course, the man behind the glass, engineer for Current Sports, Alex Sharg. Alex, how you doing, my man? Everything well?
Everything is going well, Mr. Al Martin. And you know what? Tonight, I'm kind of debating whether what I'm going to do later. And I was talking with Ben here, and there's just so many good games on for college basketball that – That's all you really want to do, and that's what everyone's talking about, right? That's everyone has been talking to you, Al, about Michigan State and the Final Four. That's where the hype is right now.
Right. No, it certainly is. I am certainly excited about the Sweet 16 beginning today. Of course, fantastic games, again, starting with that Wichita State and Notre Dame game, North Carolina, Wisconsin, West Virginia, Kentucky, Xavier, and Arizona. Those, all four of those games are going to be off the chain. I can't wait to plop on my couch and watch them. It is going to be, and we're going to, you know, it's going to be interesting later on in the show today. You want to stick around because, you know, I just happen to be doing some browsing here left and right, and this particular guest really, really caught my eye. Now, of course, you know, we talk about the hype for March Madness and, you know, with the Sweet 16 starting this weekend. And, you know, the hype can also be seen when it comes to social media. I know whenever I'm watching any sporting event, let alone the NCAA men's basketball tourney, I'm always tweeting, folks. I probably, for those that follow me out there, I probably annoy you. You probably block me one or two times because I tweet so much. But, you know, it's so interesting because, you know, in the world of social media and in the world of just the internet in general, I mean, you can also see a growing trend of how big this time of the year is for the internet and the amount of traffic that the tourney, you know, brings to the world of the internet. So we're going to invite, actually, Lauren Verusio of Google Sports. She's a Google Sports Trends expert, actually, who actually looks at, you know, what people are searching on different search, well, I should say the specific search engine of Google when it comes to the NCAA tourney. And it's going to be a very interesting to see how she breaks this whole thing down. I'm particularly interested to see how many times Tom Izzo's name has been Google searched throughout this tourney thus far. So it's definitely going to be a very interesting interview. That's going to be on the back half of our show. You don't want to miss that. But again, I want to start, of course, by talking about spring football here, Alex, because there are a lot of storylines for this MSU football team. It's very interesting because you just heard from Coach D. This, you know, looking at this year, they are just coming off back-to-back years in which they finished in the top five of the national college football rankings. Great years for MSU. Of course, last season, you know, winning the Cotton Bowl, which was certainly remarkable. That entire comeback was just jaw-dropping. Arguably the best and most entertaining game out of the entire bowl season. And also the year before that. I mean, you know, Mark D'Antonio leading the Spartans all the way to the Rose Bowl for the first time since 1987. A remarkable moment. You and I were actually down there. And I don't think we've announced this news here on Current Sports Radio, but the Michigan Association of Broadcasters Awards was, I believe, 2 weeks ago. And we actually won a Michigan Association of Broadcaster Broadcast Excellence Award for that Rose Bowl special. So it was a great time out there. And if you haven't caught that, just go to video.wkr.org to watch that entire moment. But just remarkable past 2 years, a remarkable D'Antonio tenure thus far, but there are some interesting storylines to look for throughout this spring season for Michigan State, because there's a lot of moving and shaking that has occurred since last year. Specifically, I want to start by talking about the running back position here, Alice, because if you look at it, of course, with Delton Williams being now suspended indefinitely from all team-related activities for this team, you lose a guy in the backfield now. So now, I mean, you know, you go from a year in which you had a stud at the running back position in Jeremy Langford, who, of course, is taking his talents to the NFL. You lose him. A lot of people expecting Delton Williams to now, quote-unquote, fill that void for this team, and now he does something stupid. Who knows when we'll see Delton Williams again. So now you're relying on guys like Gerald Holmes, Madre London. They're going to be getting a lot of carries now, I think. And, hey, don't sleep on freshman LJ Scott as well. He could also be a factor. Three guys in Holmes, London, and Scott that Spartan fans out there have not seen a lot of. Alex?
That's the thing is, the good thing about Michigan State now is they're not relying anymore, Alice. What I would say is that they have the depth that they can come in and make a difference. You mentioned LJ Scott. Look at Ezekiel Elliott from Ohio State. He came in as a freshman, dominant. He could step in right away. LJ Scott has that same playmaking ability that he could really take the field as a freshman and maybe even start as the year goes on, Al. So the good thing is they have some really good talent in the backfield to draw from. Gerald Holmes, like you said, that's someone who's a power back. You know, he was like one of the top rated at his position coming out of high school as an all-purpose. I mean, that's someone that I think obviously can take the field and be a good second, third down back. So yeah, overall, a lot of options, Al. I agree that's definitely a big position to look at. But I think Ben and I both agree back here that the big one has to be the secondary for Michigan State.
Right.
You're losing Trey Waynes.
You're losing everybody. You know, it's interesting because if you look at that whole no-fly zone fraternity that you know, was created as the big nickname for the secondary the past 2 years, everyone is gone from that incredible 2013 secondary that earned that title. I mean, Darqueze Dennard and Isaiah Lewis, of course, they left after 2013. Trey Waynes and Curtis Drummond, they joined them. And then Waynes, of course, considered a lock to follow Dennard as a first-round pick. I mean, MSU, when you look at it, though, it's really interesting because actually, you know, I have to watch what I say here because he's actually a reporter here at Current Sports. Darian Hicks, his name was thrown around a lot during Mark D'Antonio's presser. Darian Harris, thank you for the correction. Darian Harris, his name was thrown around a lot during MSU's presser with D'Antonio, and he believes that Harris can come in and make an immediate impact with this team. And you got a lot of youth surrounded around Harris. I mean, you look at junior Demetrius Cox. I mean, he's being moved now from the safety position to the cornerback position, so also look for him as well. But again, I don't know if this team will be the no-fly zone that we saw for the past 2 years because they are losing a lot of pieces. They're losing really everyone. A lot of young guys are going to have to step into new roles, especially when you look at the fact that Pat Narduzzi, the great defensive coordinator that throughout Michigan State's tenure with Mark D'Antonio has always been right by D'Antonio's side, is now gone. He's the head coach at Pittsburgh now. And now you have guys like Harlan Barnett and Mike Tressel actually stepping into that role of co-defensive coordinators. So I believe that, you know, when you look at this team, Alex, a lot of guys are going to be stepping into new roles, and that evaluation is going to be an ebb and flow process once this season really kicks into gear later on in the year.
I agree, man. And, hey, look, Monte Nicholson last year, he came in, started playing at safety early. I mean, the talent will be put on the field as needed. And the way that recruiting is going, these are definitely they're drawing some national talent now, a lot of different prospects from all over. So, yeah, man, I agree with you, and I think they'll see a lot of freshmen playing.
Also, the line is something I also want to talk about. I mean, I think getting Shalique Calhoun back was big for Michigan State. Of course, we all know Shalique Calhoun is a stud. I mean, he is the leader, I guess you could say, now for this defense. You know, he's the anchor. He's who this defense rallies behind. He's an unbelievable defensive end. He's got a lot of speed, a lot of strength, and he's only getting better. And he's proven that each and every year that he's been a part of this MSU football team. Other guys I'm looking to see from, you know, I think Malik McDowell is a name that you're going to hear a lot this spring. You know, you saw him, you know, even, you know, get a few minutes in the Cotton Bowl, get a few minutes there, and he looked pretty. You know, he's a big guy. He's got a lot of strength to him. Also, another name, Lawrence Thomas. You know, I think Lawrence Thomas and Malik McDowell could prove to be two names that you're going to hear a lot throughout this spring and moving into next year. So watch out for those guys. The receivers is also a point of discussion as well. I mean, you talk about guys like Aaron Burbridge, who is now a senior now. I can't believe that Aaron Burbridge is now a senior. That's unbelievable. You got junior Monty Medeiros. That's also a name that was thrown around by D'Antonio on Tuesday. And even R.J. Shelton. Another factor with that, you know, you talk about arrest with this team. Delton Williams, of course, not being a factor now in that backfield. But, you know, you talk about what McGarrett King's, you know, his arrest that happened earlier, you know, a few months ago. That's also going to hurt Michigan State from a receiver standpoint. But look, hey, Burbridge, Medeiros, Shelton, I'm curious to see what type of a ceiling those type of guys have and who is going to be now the prime receiver for Connor Cook. Because, of course, we all know that Connor Cook and Tony Lippitt had a love affair all of last year. And they connected on numerous drives. Tony Lippitt proved to exceed a lot of people's expectations and became a very, very good receiver. I think he'll also be taken pretty high in the NFL draft. But who steps up now and who will be that guy for Connor Cook? That's a big question mark, I think, right now, Alex.
Yeah, but the good thing is, you mentioned those three receivers. One receiver, Monty Medeiros, the one thing about Monty is he's one of the best blocking receivers that Michigan State has ever had. I mean, the coaches have said this, that Monty is one of the best blocking wide receivers. And he is, as you know, Al, that is crucial when you're talking about backs getting to the outside. And also with Burbridge, I mean, you saw what he could do last year. You got a little taste of it. I think he's one that I think definitely can explode this year a little bit more. R.J. Shelton, he was really used more with some wide receiver sweeps. He was really used more as like kind of like a sweep receiver. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure he has some potential down the middle too.
Yeah, now I think if, you know, when looking at those guys and that core for the receivers, I really think if anyone has the biggest weight on his shoulders to prove something, I think it's got to be Aaron Burbidge. I mean, he's the senior. Seniors have to step up during their senior year. And I think that Aaron Burbidge has a target on his back now, and he has a lot to prove in during this spring. So it's going to be very interesting now. And again, I'm really curious to see how good this defense will be now that Pat Narduzzi is gone. Of course, Pat Narduzzi, I mean, he was one of my favorite coaches to ever cover in this area because he was so fiery. He was so witty during his press conferences. His personality, I mean, he was a guy that the media loved. We loved covering Pat Narduzzi. And I tell you what, the players loved playing for him. He was just a heck of a guy, and I think he's going to do an incredible job at Pitt. But now, I mean, you got Harlan Barnett and Mike Tressel now stepping in as co-defensive coordinators. The big question is now that responsibility placed on their shoulders, can they keep this trend going? You know, that we've seen the past 3 to 4 years now of Michigan State being amongst the best defenses in the entire nation. That's a lot of pressure that comes with that job and comes with that title of being a defensive coordinator here at Michigan State because of the foundation that has been laid with Pat Narduzzi. Now that he's gone, Barnett and Tressel also have targets on their back to perform and to get this engine running. And I really like the addition now, of course, of Mark Snyder. Mark Snyder, of course, was the linebackers coach at Ohio State for quite some time. Actually, Snyder and D'Antonio had, you know, briefly worked with each other for a brief stint at Ohio State. And that's, of course, before Mark D'Antonio came here to Michigan State. So Mark Snyder is now moving into the role of the linebackers coach and special teams coordinator. So it's going to be very interesting to see how all three of those parts of Barnett, Tressel, and Snyder coincide and coexist with each other. I really think, though, that this team has a very solid defensive core and will be good. I don't know if they'll be great, but they'll be good. Alex, what do you think?
Yeah, I think the only trouble that may come is when you're adding new coaches, and now that Narduzzi is gone, when you're coaching together for years, you get into that rhythm. You're kind of in sync, and now it's not that these coaches are going to be out of sync, but there may be a little adjustment period when it comes to calling plays and playbooks and stuff like that. So that's just one thing to watch out for. I think they'll be good. Will they be national championship? I'm not sold on it yet, but I think that this team will still be one of the top teams in the Big Ten this year.
And you know what? When looking at it, and you know, it's interesting. We talked about Monty Medeiros right now. I'm actually reading an article. Browsed around an article here on Lansing State Journal. Monty Medeiros is being reported from camp that he has moved to the front of the MSU receivers. So out of those guys, you know, we talked about Aaron Burbidge, R.J. Shelton. Out of all of those guys right now, Monty is really impressing throughout spring thus far. It's still early. But, you know, going back to your point, I mean, about Michigan State and talking about national championships right now, you heard what D'Antonio, what I asked D'Antonio in the presser. Right now, with Michigan State becoming so close to possibly competing for a national championship, and I always think about, you know, that Rose Bowl season because ideally, if the four-team playoff had been enacted that year, Michigan State might have been in that national championship game. They went to the Rose Bowl. They beat Stanford. I mean, you talk about the top four bowls. Michigan State was in one of those. They would have competed for one. Who knows? They might have even won one that year. So maybe a year just too late for that playoff to be implemented, but still a great season nonetheless for Michigan State. Now, when you have success like that, naturally, as D'Antonio talked about, you want to climb that next mountain. You want to reach for that next star. And of course, now with two top five finishes, the next star for Michigan State is a national title. Now, every year is different. You're losing a lot of pieces here. You're shifting around different people. You lose your defensive coordinator. You have to adjust in that time as well. But looking at what Michigan State has done these past few years, I mean, man, that would be an incredible feather in a cap for let alone any program, let alone the Michigan State Spartans. So that is what you reach for right now. Folks, what do you think about the MSU football team? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Very interesting article here, Alex, that I just thought was just totally out of the blue and bogus.
I don't even want to talk about it, to be honest with you.
I'm going to be very...
Let's brief.
We're going to be very, very brief with this one, my brother, because, again, I think in our industry, and I'm going to preface this with this, in our industry as media members and as journalists, it really grinds my gears. I'm going to use that word because I can't. We're on public radio here. It really grinds my gears when certain media members or journalists throw something out in the water and out there and writes up something or says something just to spark attention and some sort of controversy. And I think exactly this is what was done with this article.
I agree with you that is something that is really annoying to see when it's something just
countless sparks. Times.
And it has. But the other thing that sometimes we as media members often don't think about is there could be some boss at the top saying, hey, I want a story on this. The reporter may not necessarily be calling those shots. So for that, I kind of tread on really close water on who I'm really taking the blame for. But I agree with you that it is annoying to see stuff like this.
But I think it falls on the shoulders of both whoever's writing the piece or saying whatever, whoever putting together the piece as well. Because at the same time, if my boss came down and said, hey, Al, I want you to write a controversial piece on this, you better believe I'm approaching it with a lot of caution, because at the end of the day, as a journalist, you got to put on that cap and you got to fight the fight at a certain point. If you feel something is wrong, speak up. That's what I always say. That no matter what job it is. So at the end of the day, and this is not the first time this particular journalist has done this. Now, to break it down, folks, what we're talking about here is a certain ESPN writer by the name of Travis Haney, who has created a list of the top 10 overpaid college football coaches. Now, Haney listed Michigan State's Mark D'Antonio as number 7 on the list, and I really did not understand his reasoning whatsoever when it came to it. But Haney complimented D'Antonio for keeping the Spartans competitive, but pointed to his $5 million salary as being too costly for someone who only has one outright conference title. Alex, just really quickly, initial thoughts on that.
Initial thoughts is when you're talking about someone's salary and money, that's such a touchy topic. I don't think you can comment on if someone is qualified to make a certain amount of money. So overall, I just think it's bogus. It's horrendous. Throw the thing away. Don't talk about it ever again.
D'Antonio has done a terrific job making Michigan State University perimeterly competitive and relevant. However, thanks to a $2 million bonus for staying put, which brought his 2014 compensation to more than $5 million, money second to only Nick Saban. But as opposed to Saban, he has just one outright conference title to show for it. Again, that's a direct quote from that article. Now, it's interesting because if you look at D'Antonio's resume, folks, he's 75-31, 45-19 in the Big Ten Conference, 7 winning seasons over the past 8 years. He's gone to 4 straight bowls. He's led MSU to its first Rose Bowl and won that game, by the way, since 1987. He's had 6 wins over in-state rival Michigan, but yet he's overpaid. Really? I just don't get it. And, you know, this isn't the first time. You know, I talk about the history that Haney has had when it comes to Michigan State. If you remember in February, he said that Michigan State was one of the football programs, quote, trending down, and its, quote, window for high-end success appears to be closing, and quickly. And at the same time, he praised Michigan and, of course, the hiring of Jim Harbaugh. So I don't know. Maybe he's got a personal vendetta against Michigan State. But again, when I read something like this, I kind of browsed over and said this is absolutely ludicrous. And he really didn't back up any of the points that he is claiming. So, hey, I don't know. Travis Haney, do what you do, my man. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll give you a sneak peek into tonight's Current Sports TV sit-down with Bill Cipolla and the Okemos High School hockey team. You don't want to miss that. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy Thursday, ladies and gents. Breaking news here I'm seeing on ESPN.com. A bomb threat has been called into the courthouse where former New England Patriots player Aaron Hernandez's murder trial is being held and has temporarily halted the proceedings. Wow. Now, Superior Court Judge Susan Garsh said on Thursday that the court was being suspended while the building was evacuated. The judge anticipates that the court will resume in about 30 minutes at 2 p.m., but a bomb threat, a security officer says a bomb threat was called in to the Fall River Justice Center in Massachusetts. Oh, boy, I tell you, crazy things happening on in this world, folks. All right, well, let's change gears here. I want to bring up, of course, each and every Thursday here on Current Sports Radio, we give you a sneak peek preview into the night's Current Sports TV sit-down. Now, I had an unbelievable time with the Okemos High School hockey team. That's right, they were in the house, and they were live, folks. It was a great time. I actually got a chance to sit down with the head coach of that very team, who's been the head coach of the Okemos High School hockey team for, get this, 20 years. 20 years. Man, he has certainly laid down one incredible foundation over there at Okemos. His name, of course, is Bill Cipolla, and he's done a great job. This team actually came very, very close to a Division III state championship, losing in the quarterfinals to Riverview after having a 3-0 lead over Riverview after the first period. Riverview ended up rallying, scored four straight goals in the span of two periods in the second and third periods, and, of course, crushed the hearts of the Okemos Chiefs. But it was an unbelievable season nonetheless. Here is Bill. I had to start by asking Bill exactly what happened after that first period.
Well, we started out so strong, you know, getting that 3-0 lead. We forechecked very well. We got every loose puck in their zone. We caused turnovers. We had a lot of shots on their goalie, and they had a real good goalie. And we got those three quick goals in the first period. And after the first, you know, you just try to maintain that level, and sometimes you sort of slow down a little bit. It was too easy.
Did complacency at all set in after that lead?
Yeah, we tried not to, and I didn't think it was in the locker room. Everyone was saying the right things, and we were all doing the right things. But when we got out in the second period, we sort of just stopped skating, and we weren't getting the loose pucks. And they get a goal, and all of a sudden in hockey is a different game. You get that momentum, and the momentum went to them, and it was tough for us to get it back.
Now, you being the head coach of the Okemos hockey team, you're, of course, charged with the duty of talking to your players after such a crucial loss. Again, but still, an incredible season. 18 straight games up until that point. How do you temper those emotions as a coach? What did you tell them after the game?
A great season. You know, that's all you can say. You know, we went as far as we possibly could and almost got to another level. And the game's over, the season's over. It's hard on the seniors. We have a lot of kids, you know, some kids 4-year players. And to go out, it's ending. And that's always tough in the playoffs for any sport when you're a senior and the season's done. But it was a great season, and they had to be proud of themselves because they played so well in so many games. And it just, you know, losing by a goal, and there were bounces that we did not get, which we could have still won the game. So it was a great, great season.
Give it up for that, guys. Still an incredible season for you all. Very fun season to keep up with you guys and watch as well. Now, for you, Bill, I got to ask. I mean, 18-game win streak, a phenomenal year for you all. Where does this year rank when it comes to your coaching tenure at Okemos?
Right up in the top two. There's two teams I had. One that went to the Final Four in 2000, and we made it to the semifinals. And this team had all the potential to make it there. And again, those bounces go against you. And in 2000, they went with us a little bit. So this team by far ranks in the top two, and the top two rank above all the other teams. Mm-hmm. So it was a fun group of guys. They stuck together. We had a great locker room. And that's how you get to those games, is when you have good camaraderie and the team plays together.
You know, it's so tough coming just that close to possibly competing for a state championship and coming so short. But, you know, I talk to coaches in those moments who do lose that game and lose that moment. At the same time, it is still, again, a remarkable year for you all. For you, do you feel as though coaches at your level, in the high school level, do coaches get too caught up in the wins and losses?
I think they do. I think in every sport they do, whether it be basketball or baseball. And my philosophy has always been, during the regular season, we have our number one goal is to win our league championship. When we have non-conference games, my goal is to play as many players as we possibly can, you know, basically the whole team, to develop the players for the future. And there's a lot of coaches, unfortunately, that get caught up in the winning and losing that just want to win, win, win. And we've lost some games, non-conference games, which didn't bother me at all, but I got a lot of kids in that game, and they played, and they're learning, and that's going to benefit them the next year.
But as a competitor, as a coach, I mean, that's you know, getting that win is a part of your competitive nature at the end of the day, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. We want to win. It's a varsity sport. We want to win games. We want to win the league championship. Those are the most important games. We want to win the non-conference games, but we're going to do it with the whole team in the non-conference games, because if we just play with a shortened bench, the next year we have brand new players. They've never played. And so we want to get those players accustomed to the pace of play so that the next year they can compete.
Now, Bill, your program is one of the very few programs that isn't operated as a quote-unquote co-op program, where you have a plethora of different regions or schools teaming up to form one hockey team. At Okemos High School, there's only Okemos High School there. When you're going against these other teams who have teamed up in a way, is it fair for you to play them?
Well, unfortunately, that's the way it is, and you have to play them. It's we feel it's fair. You know, with us being at Okemos, we have been striving to keep this a one school team, and we've been successful. We have great numbers that come out every year for our school, for our team. And when we play the co-ops, it just gives us that much more satisfaction when we're beating a team. For instance, East Lansing was a key rival of Okemos. Hazlett was a big rival of Okemos. Our two biggest games always when they were single schools. Now they're together. So to beat schools like that, that's still a rivalry. And it's better when they're combined and we're still single and we're beating them.
So it means more when you do get those wins, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Definitely. Gotta love that. Give it up, guys. I love that. Now, I tell you what, interesting statistic. I tell you what, the last Lansing area team to win a state championship was actually back in 1976. Been quite a long time. Why so long?
I think a lot of it has to go with the travel leagues. We've had a AAA team in Lansing and AAA majors and minors, and it takes some of the high school kids. There's always every year that I should have like four or five kids that aren't playing for me that are playing for a travel team. Mm. And they would help our team, and we'd be that much better. But they chose to go to the AAA route and go in that, hoping that that's their next step to college or professional. And I am now getting some of the kids that have played that playing high school because it's a better experience for them.
Gotcha. So it's kind of the lack of bodies due to that other farm system, if you will?
Yeah, it's a farm system, and it's you know, they feel that playing AAA hockey is going to be their step to the next level, and I still profess that you can do that through high school. Abdel Kader, who plays on the Red Wings, he played for Muskegon Mona Shores, and we played them every year back in the day, and here's a kid that's playing high school hockey, and I told my players, I said, there's a kid that's going to the next level, mm-hmm. and he's playing high school, but they'll find you if you're good enough.
Gotcha. Now, what's the success level as far as a kid who plays in that farm system to make it to the pros? I mean, what's the numbers like? What are we looking at?
Well, I think the national numbers are it's less than 0.5%, and it's hockey is tougher than a lot of other sports, and it's there's not that many Division I schools. First of all, to go to a Division I program, and right. So it's you spend a lot of money for that opportunity. You'd better be served if you put that money in the bank and you've got the tuition paid.
Yeah, that's certainly true. Now, Bill, I want to shift gears now and talk about your overall road to come here to Okemos. Now, again, the last 20 years you've been here with this program. How did you get involved with hockey in the first place?
Well, I got involved with hockey when I was very young. I'm hail originally from northern Minnesota, up on the Iron Range by International Falls, where it's 50, 40 below.
Oh boy, sounds
and,
great.
I had the opportunity to come down and play at Michigan State on a hockey scholarship, and I felt like I was going south. It was that nice.
And right.
30 degrees was balmy.
Compared to 40 below, right?
Exactly. And so I played for Michigan State, and I coached for Michigan State after I played, and then I got out of hockey for a while, and I was refereeing, as a matter of fact, and doing some WCHA refereeing in the college leagues back then. And then finally I got involved with Okemos, and I got my fire back, and been here ever since. I was going to do it 1 year.
Wow. And, so when you first got the job to be the head coach at Okemos Hockey, you were only going to do it for 1 year? Why is that?
Well, Keith Frelick, the athletic director at the time, wanted me and kept asking me. He said, no, I don't like the cold rinks. Rinks are too cold. And I finally said, okay, I'll do it 1 year and see. And that 1 year became 20.
How? How has it become 20 years?
Because
what made
of these
you
kids over here.
Gotta look, get it up for yourselves, guys.
You know, every year. And I say that at our banquet, and I say that all the time. It's our kids and our parents. Our parents are a big part of our program. We are one family, and we stay together, and it's been just fantastic. I've never had a bad experience with a parent or a player. I don't have to say anything to them. I don't have many rules because they all know. Every senior tells the juniors tell the sophomores, and new kids come on, and they just learn what they're supposed to do, and they're great kids.
So you've naturally just become attached over the years, huh?
Absolutely.
Gotta love that. Now, Bill, I gotta ask you this. How much longer will you be the head coach at Okemos? Ever thought about that?
Good question. No, I have never thought about it, really. It's just, when it's time, but, it's not time. I still enjoy it. I still enjoy the practices. I really enjoy the kids. The kids are great, and that's what keeps me here, and it keeps you young coaching.
Love that. All right, Bill, before we let the 12th man get at you, and your team is actually going to throw questions at you. I always love doing that to coaches, right? I want to bring up our current sports question of the day. Now, again, you all can weigh on this by going to facebook.com/currentsports and leave us a comment there, or even tweet me at @AlMartinWKR, a discussion that we've been having week in and week out on Current Sports Radio. Bill, is the notion of outdoor hockey, because there are a lot of hockey personnel out there that like it. They think it's a different atmosphere when you put a hockey rink inside of a big football stadium. But on the flip side, from the player standpoint, sometimes you have technical difficulties. It's very hard to look at as well when it comes to viewing it on television, because the game becomes really, really small. What do you think about outdoor hockey, and does it have a future?
Well, it does have a future. It started at Michigan State when we did the outdoor game. I can't remember the exact date, but they had 70-some thousand people at that game, and that sent it to the next level, and everyone wanted to do it then because it's such a draw. Mm-hmm. The problem with outdoor hockey anywhere, really, is the conditions. If you watch an NHL team, and when they have an outdoor hockey and they have them in February, a couple of games, the puck bounces all over. It's outdoor ice. It's not very fast. It gets chipped very easily, mm-hmm. and the pucks bounce around. It's not an ideal situation for talent to come through.
Right.
It is a novelty, and people love to go see it. But if you're sitting in the stands in one of those football stadiums, you can't see.
It's hard
the puck.
To see, right? It's hard for me watching it on TV to find that little puck, and
exactly.
Let alone in a big football
exactly.
stadium, right? Oh, very tough, folks. What do you think about it? Go to facebook.com/currentsports, and also tweet me at @AlMartinWKR. Well, Bill, we're about to transition to my favorite part of the show, where I stop barraging with questions, and the 12th man audience will get a chance to. You guys ready for that? Yeah? All right, without further ado, it is time for the 12th man. All right, here we go. It is my favorite part of Current Sports, where we take questions from our live TV studio audience here. Dub the 12th man. It is time for the 12th man. How you guys doing? Yeah?
Good.
All right, the Okemos High School team, of course, is in the house there. Head coach right here, Bill Cipolla. You ready, Bill?
Ready.
First question comes from Jake from Okemos, of course. Jake, how you doing, and what is your question?
I'm doing well, and Coach, what was your favorite high school hockey memory from when you played in Minnesota?
My favorite memory, there's a lot of memories, but probably my favorite was my senior year playing in the regional championship. We were playing in Hibbing, which is about 30 miles from my hometown, and there had to be 6,000 people in this building, and there was no place to sit. Fire marshals, I don't think, existed back then. but it was just incredible, the emotion in that building, and the game we did lose. But, you just remember that, playing in front of all those people, and it was your last game in your high school year.
So did it kind of look like Don Johnson Fieldhouse look?
Absolutely. And they were waiting outside like Don Johnson Fieldhouse, too.
You know,
they could not get in.
I tell you what, that was such a crazy moment. But, wow, I can only imagine how that game was as well. Jake, great question. Get up for Jake, guys. All right, our next question comes from SB. How you doing, SB?
I'm doing well.
What's your question, my man?
And, Coach, did you have Zambonis when you were a kid?
Zambonis? we had Zambonis when I was a kid. One thing, we played a lot of outdoor hockey, though. We didn't have many indoor hockey rinks to play in, so we were playing outdoors, whether it be 20 below or 20 above. Minnesota, the ice stays naturally pretty much all winter long. And on the outdoor rinks, there was just a barrel with water in it, and we just go across and just water the outdoor after we shoveled it off. So that was our Zamboni for outdoors.
There you go. Homemade Zamboni,
homemade,
right?
Homemade Zambonis.
All right, folks. Gotta love that, right? It's a pretty cool story. Again, that's Bill Cipolla. He is the head coach of the Okemos hockey team. I tell you what, this team was incredible all year. They made it to the state quarterfinals, fell just short of a state championship. They were my guest on this week's Current Sports TV. You can catch Current Sports TV tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR. TV. You don't want to miss that, folks. Well, let's take our second break of the show. When we come back, we'll have a special guest for you all that is interesting nonetheless. Don't touch that dial. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this March 26th, 2015. Hopefully, you all are having a fantastic Thursday. Let's get to our second guest for today's Current Sports. Now, of course, millions of Americans have caught March Madness fever as the 2015 Men's NCAA Division I tourney goes into its final rounds. Of course, the Sweet 16 tipping off today. Now, with the brackets narrowed down to the Sweet 16, why don't you let Google be your guide to what fans are searching about during the whole tourney as the final teams are battling for basketball glory. Now, I have the privilege of welcoming our guest for today's Current Sports, Google Sports Trends expert Lauren Verusio, as she gives an inside look at what people are searching about during the 2015 NCAA March Madness tourney. Lauren, how you doing? Do we have her?
Good, thanks. How are you? How's it going?
Fantastic. Thanks a lot for joining me today. I think this is very, very cool. You know, when I was going through my email and scouring the net, and I saw this opportunity to chat with you, I thought it would just be so cool and different to dive into this. First off, I got to ask you, why did you guys decide to research this? Why so?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, March Madness is becoming much like Super Bowl in that it's a massive sports moment, but it's really starting to take shape as a consumer moment as well. So we're seeing millions and millions of people go to Google.com or use the Google app on their mobile devices, searching for all sorts of things that are March Madness related. And March Madness search interest has increased by 115% from this time last year. So that's why we're doing it. There's definitely a lot of searches taking place out there surrounding March Madness.
So it's increased from last year in 2014. You said 115%? That's unbelievable.
Yep, went up 115% since last year at this time.
Why do you think that is so? What changed from this year, from last year to this year?
It's a good question. I just think that the momentum of March Madness is continuing to compound. Year over year, we're seeing these spikes. And in the past decade, search interest of March Madness has increased by 250% in totality. So within the past decade, we've seen a substantial increase. Within the past year, there's been a substantial increase. It's really starting to take hold as this consumer moment, especially as fans gear up to fill out their brackets. I mean, that's when we really see searches spike. Fans are going in, they're taking a look at teams, they're taking a look at player stats. They want to figure out who's got the best shot at going all the way.
Now, Lauren, for you, you being a Google Trends expert, what exactly goes into breaking this data down, and how exactly tedious is this job?
It is a very good question. It is very tedious, that's for sure, and a lot goes into it. You know, there are a ton of back-end analytics. That is not necessarily my forte, pulling all of those analytics. However, I do know the guys over at the Trends team, they really sort of roll up their sleeves and they dive in.
Wow, that is very, very cool stuff. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, I'm chatting with Lauren Verusio, who is a Google Sports Trends expert. Now, Lauren, I got to ask this. What teams have the most searches heading into the Sweet 16 round?
All right, well, number one is Kentucky. No big surprise there. Kentucky is undefeated. They're looking to go all the way. So not that surprising that Kentucky is the most searched team. They're followed by the Wisconsin Badgers, then we've got Duke, and then, I think you guys will be very happy to hear this, Michigan is in the four slot, followed
wow.
by Gonzaga, and that rounds out the top five most searched teams.
So Michigan State is in that fourth slot, and you said Kentucky, Wisconsin, and Duke are just ahead of Michigan State, right?
Yes, that's correct.
That is very cool stuff. Okay, let's go players now. Who are the most searched players in this year's tourney thus far?
All right, most searched players, we've got Jahlil Okafor over at Duke, Willie Cauley-Stein at Kentucky, Frank Kaminsky, Wisconsin Badgers. Then in the fourth spot, we've got Pat Connaughton over at Notre Dame and Kennedy Meeks from North Carolina.
Wow, that's
But we've also taken that information and we've broken it down for most searched Michigan State players. And who do you think is the number one guy over there?
Oh, boy, if I had to choose right now, as far as players in that roster, I would go with Travis Trice.
You got it. You got it.
There we go.
Travis Trice is the most searched player, yep, from your team. And then we actually found something cool. We did a little bit further digging on Travis, and we saw that search interest in Travis Trice's mom was 130% higher than search interest in Travis's stats. And that was because, if you guys remember, Travis's mom became internet famous after she helped distract Virginia shooters at the free throw line with her loud wailing at the last game.
Yeah, you know, we actually talked about that on Current Sports 2 weeks ago. Her mom, I mean, we talked to Travis at practice about it, and it's such a comical story. That's really surprising, though, that his mom is more searched than his own statistics. That's very funny, Lauren.
Isn't it interesting? Yep, by 130%.
Yeah. Now, I got to ask. Now, moving on. I want to talk about, of course, the most searched NCAA coach, because we've been given, of course, Tom Izzo a lot of praise, because, and deservedly so, because Tom, you know, he's leading Michigan State to now four straight Sweet 16s. I mean, it's truly remarkable what he's done to the Michigan State men's basketball program. He's certainly a shoe-in for the Basketball Hall of Fame. I got to ask, I mean, where is Izzo when it comes to that most searched NCAA coach list?
Well, I will say, I mean, I've been reading a lot about him. He sounds like a wonderful guy. There are a ton of searches being done around him. He did not make the top five, however.
Wow, that's surprising.
Coach K from Duke, he's got the number one slot. Yeah, Coach K is the number one slot.
And what's the top five look like?
Well, after Coach K, we've got John Calipari over at Kentucky. No big surprise there. Steve Alford, UCLA. Then we've got Bob Huggins, West Virginia, followed by Rick Pitino.
Wow, gotta love
that.
That's
top five.
I'm very surprised that Tom Izzo wasn't on that top five. Okay. All right, moving on now. What are the most searched team mascots or marching bands, any of that nature?
Yeah, well, this you guys will like. So if we took a look at the most searched Sweet 16 mascots, Bucky the Badger over at Wisconsin-Madison, he's got the one slot. But Sparty, he took number two, which is very cool. That also led to a lot of people searching for, okay, what is Sparty? We're hearing all about it. There's a lot of searches for it. If you go into the Google app on your mobile device and you ask, okay, Google, what is Sparty?
Mm-hmm.
According to Wikipedia, Sparty is the mascot of Michigan State University.
And then it keeps going to explain what Sparty is. But it's kind of cool because Sparty's got the number two slot. People are asking, what is Sparty? And if you go to Google and actually use your voice with the Google app to ask, it tells you exactly who Sparty is, which is pretty fun.
That is too cool. So you just all you got to do is just voice it, and it'll come up and just let you know what it is right there and right then and there. Is that a new feature to that app?
Well, it actually, we've had the Google app for a little while, but we continue to make advancements. And now, to go back to an earlier point, since March Madness has become such a consumer moment, we're really trying to drive a lot of support and cool features around March Madness. So, yeah, so if you use this for Sparty, the definition comes up, his picture, it's pretty fun.
That is unbelievably cool. Folks, again, we are talking with Lauren Verruccio of Google Sports. She's a Google Sports Trends expert, I should say. And she's letting us know what are the most searched things throughout this entire NCAA men's basketball tourney thus far. Now, of course, you know, another thing I want to bring up, of course, everyone's having watch parties around this time of the year, especially here in Mid-Michigan. I mean, it's crazy. Local bars and restaurants are packed during the MSU men's basketball games. It's unbelievable. What are the most searched tips for NCAA finals watch parties? I'm very curious to know that one as well.
A very good question. Just like we see at Super Bowl, people really do make this a fun night, depending on which game they watch, but they make it a fun moment. So we're seeing most searched March Madness recipes. And the first thing that people are searching for the most is pizza. Makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. The third thing actually is very surprising to me. The third thing is a pea salad. Now, I don't eat pea salads regularly, never mind eating them in front of a March Madness game, but it's the most searched March Madness recipe.
Wow, that is unbelievably cool, Lauren. Well, I tell you what, this entire thing has been so enlightening and very, very fun. And I gotta ask you, because everybody fills out a bracket every single year. Are you one of those that filled out one? And if so, I mean, who do you got winning the whole thing?
That's a good question. So based off of all of Google searches and activity on YouTube, we put together the official Google bracket. And so within the official Google bracket, we have Kentucky and Duke facing off in the final game with Kentucky taking the crown. So I'm going to go with that as my bracket. I'm using the Google bracket.
That was a very smart decision, I think. And that's how my bracket looks as well. I think that Kentucky is going to win this whole thing. Well, Lauren, thanks so much for joining me today. Again, how can people follow your work?
If they go to google.com/trends, they could pull some of this information on their own. And I'm sure it will change as we head to the Final Four. So take a look.
There you have it, Lauren Verruccio, Google Sports Trends expert. Lauren, it's been a privilege, and thanks for joining me today on Current Sports.
Thanks for having me.
Gotta love that. That's fun stuff. Fun interview there. All right, folks. Well, we unfortunately have to say goodbye. We've approached the final minute here on Current Sports. I want to give a special thanks to all of you for tuning in to today's show. Thanks a lot to the Okemos High School hockey team, along with head coach of that squad, Bill Cipolla, as well as Google Sports Trends expert, Lauren Verruccio. That was a fun interview. Very interesting as well. Sparty, the number two most searched mascot of the entire tourney. That's very cool stuff. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Again, Current Sports TV tonight at 10 p.m. If that's past your bedtime, make sure you DVR it, okay? Take care. Have one fantastic Thursday. And be easy, people.